Okay, take your pick. Chapter 1, we'll just look at verse 2 for now.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, now this is what Haggai says the Lord is saying. Don't get that mixed up there. This people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. This is what the people are saying, that it's not time to do what I need to do. Now, in the paper, and I looked at the paper this morning, just skimmed through the paper this morning, I'm being accused of being hateful again, which, you know, we'll deal with that. One of these days I'll write something, see if they print it or whatever, I don't know. But that's not really the battle anyway. I did see in the paper a couple days ago, though, there was a little square down there. It said this. It was a little square in an ad page, and it said, "Why the Passion of Christ? Have you seen the movie? Come learn the why behind the passion. Alpha provides an opportunity to hear the rest of the story." In an ad that you would see, definitely. I'll bet you Alpha just having a ball with this movie. Just bet you having a great time. And then here's one. I'll just have to read it to you a little bit here. It's in the Los Angeles Times, which made it into the You Are Boring paper, the UB. This is a national editorial. As soon as I got home from the movie theater, I opened my King James Version of the Bible, one that has the statements directly attributable to Jesus conveniently printed in red type. Opening it at random, I read in the Gospel according to St. Matthew a clear reassurance that Gibson has it all wrong. When Christ opened his mouth, which he rarely does in the movie, he told his disciples all those things that super militant Christians who seek to divide us never want to hear. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers. See? For they shall be called the children. That peacemaker thing, it's coming back. That's the Jesus we need in our lives, he says. Admittedly, I am not in Gibson's target audience, and I do not begrudge others finding solace and meaning in the scriptures of their choice. What I fear is hatred spawned of religious fundamentalism, the same type that tore apart the world of my childhood and continues to be an enormous producer of pain, warfare, and division. The world is currently plagued by Christian, Jewish, Islamic, and Hindu fundamentalists who seem more passionate about employing their holy books as weapons than as instruments of peace. Now, when 9/11 happened, I was watching the news that morning. When 9/11 happened, one of the first things I thought of was, we are in trouble as Bible-believing Christians, because we're going to be grouped in with all these people out there doing this fundamental attack stuff. And it hasn't been a couple years, and here we are. Major newspaper warning people about us. Why do you say us? Because this Bible is a sword. We're supposed to treat it as a sword. So he's hitting us up on the weapon thing. And that part there where he says, the same type of religious fundamentalism that tore apart the world of my childhood, this guy has no clue that every war that this country has fought has been spawned and spurred by the Catholic Church. They don't know that. And if you want more on that stuff, I can give you more stuff on that thing. You can even say that to somebody if you need documentation. Boy, is it available. All the wars, Catholics are involved, Catholic Church, big time. So, and there's the Jesus. Now, I did a sermon a long time. I meant to bring it this morning. Remember that sermon, The Rest of the Story? I mean, here's what everybody knows about Jesus. Here's what the Christians probably give some credit for. And then there's the rest of the story. Remember that? That's the stuff that separates us, because we know a lot of the rest of the story, because we trust that book for what it says. As I see things happening in these days, I see sermons, believe it or not, this is just me yakking here, I see sermons that God has had me to preach that have prepared us for exactly what's going on. And you're probably just as guilty as I am. I didn't take him as serious as I should have. I wished I'd have learned all the stuff that I preached. Well, that's a weird thing to say. That's fact. Amen? I wished you would have learned all the stuff that God has preached here too. But whatever, we can keep working at it. We're hearing the Gospels, early Acts, Hebrews, and James. That's all we're hearing. And here's this guy that says, that's the Jesus we need from the Gospels. Well, he just doesn't understand, does he? That's all he air not knowing the Scriptures. Here's another one. I don't have my watch this morning. I thought I figured I had my watch. Well, that's probably good. Here's another one. These are some eyewitness testimonies of people who did go to the movie. I was very disturbed by the movie in many ways that I didn't realize right away. The images, and I use that word because that is exactly what the movie is, are burned deeply into your mind. I am an artist, and this movie took a very artistic approach. The music, if you want to call it music, was placed and used to evoke emotions that you couldn't help but weep at the appropriate moments. It plays on your emotions and your mind, which I thought I could handle. I was wrong. The Word of God clearly teaches us over and over to guard our minds and hearts from any evil thing, and in this case, the movie that I see disobeyed. By viewing this movie, I have suffered the image of the actor portraying Christ jumping into my prayers. See? I never had an image of Jesus. He was seen by faith in my heart without form that I know one day will become sight. Now I have to fight off this the residual effects of this movie. That's what picture. That's why that thing's gone. I do not think this is a good movie. At first I did, but the more I see the effects of it has had on my mind, the more I realize that the devil is behind this movie and not the Lord. The miracles on the set, conversions of some to Catholicism, the actor getting struck by lightning, and others that have been broadcast on TBN and other watered-down Christian networks are, quite frankly, only fulfillment of biblical prophecies that we are indeed approaching the end times. As Satan's hour draws nearer, there will be more and more exhibits of power and charm. It looks like Jesus, acts like Jesus, sometimes even talks like Jesus, but he isn't the real Jesus. Here's another one, a final point the guy makes, that when... because it teaches exactly what the Roman Catholic Church believes about Christ's work on the cross, the movie has him say, "It is accomplished," instead of, "It is finished." It is accomplished. And he makes a point here, accomplished means to fulfill further, perform, undergo, bring to pass. It is finished means end, complete, perfect, conclude, make an end. And so the Catholic's work, that there is still more for you to do, comes across when he says, "It is finished." And when he says, "It is accomplished." That's one. He says, "My God has forgiven me, and I hope that someday he will be able to remove all the images of that movie from my mind." Now, you know, we'll say that this guy really got clobbered, but you know, you've seen pictures of Jesus for all your life. And when I bet you sometimes we'll just kind of picture him as we're talking, that's kind of what he looks like. I think we've been duped. I think out of therapy, picture you can find of Jesus in your house, and chuck that critter. For your kid's sake, if nothing else. But whatever. I'm going through some of my stuff. I'll preach about it here in a week or so, whatever. Here's another one. Many of the things in the biblical crucifixion account that Jesus' power was not there. In the garden when Jesus said, "I am he," nobody did what? What happens when he says, "I am he"? The guards. They fall back. That doesn't happen in the movie. I almost forgot to mention the part about Mary drinking Jesus' blood. While he is on the cross, Mary comes up and kisses his foot. The movie shows the blood running down into her mouth, and she backs away, almost licking her lips with blood all over her face. That'd be transubstantiation there a little bit. See? Here's another one. One of the creepiest things about the movie is the portrayal of evil. The Satan woman is horrible. At one point, she is standing there looking at Jesus suffer, holding a baby. She is supposed to be an evil parody of the Madonna and Child. The baby turns his head and reveals a demonic face. I left the theater feeling angry. How can any of the evangelical leaders endorse this movie? How can they say that it follows the gospel accounts? They're not only endorsing but recommending this movie to everybody. The true colors of evangelical leaders are coming out. Amen. I mean, we're really being put on all of us are being put on where we are as a Christian. Another one here, this guy says, "I found that the Passion is being very instrumental in bringing Catholics and Protestants to be more ecumenically united. I'm convinced that ecumenicism or whatever will be the movie's greatest legacy." Amen, right? Now, remember, this is even the old Catholic Church. This isn't even, "Oh, I meant to bring all the other stuff too." Okay, I want to do that. Okay. I dug up some stuff that the Pope said about ecumenicalism. I dug up the Catholic, go back, would you? They're right on my desk. You folded them last night, and the whole stash. I gotta have that stuff. I looked up all the curses that the Catholic Church has put on us. You know that, right? I think we probably talked about that before. And I typed up a little thing that's got some of the curses. Then I found some more. Man, I'll tell you want to talk about hatred. I'm giving you a copy of some of the curses, and you stick that little critter in your pocket, and next time somebody accuses you of being hateful, or accuses your pastor of being hateful, well, excuse me, but I have right here the curses that the Catholic Church puts on us because we don't believe what you folks believe. Now, is that not more hateful? Then they can take him to say, you want to hear a curse? God puts a curse on you folks for not believing what he says. Not for just not being a Baptist. It got nothing to do with it. It's what they go against the word. So what does the devil do? He takes that local holy whore of Babylon church and makes them put curses on everybody that doesn't believe what they believe. And there is no ecumenicalism in any of that. I mean, either you believe this stuff or you don't. So I thought I'd better have some documentation for a change. And I went into the Catholic sites and found all this is their stuff. And these people that are from other churches and stuff that are playing around with this movie and playing around with the Catholics, they are just as cursed, you know, because they don't believe exactly the way the Pope says they ought to believe. And you read those things and you'll be amazed. Baptism stuff, boy, I wish I had the time to go through those verbally with you. It's shocking. It's amazing that they would, boy, that is hatred. And that's probably what I'm going to work on for the article. You want to hear about hatred? Let me tell you what your church preaches about us. I'd like to get into that thing. Anyway, here's an article, Ecumenicalism and the Council of Trent. The Council of Trent still exists, no matter what they say. And if that isn't enough, here is some of the stuff directly from the Council of Trent way back in 1545. And they say they changed it in somewhere earlier, but that's a bunch of baloney. It's ecumenical junk. Then here's a specific. I got to do. You got to watch. Then we got to watch. LD, you're always my watch man. Well, I'm too old for that now. You know, I can go out and have a retired dinner. What do you call them? Senior citizen dinners now. Even though I turned 54, I'm in my 55th year. Right? 0 to 1. I'm done with 54, so I'm 54. But I'm into the 55th year, so I'm really 55. I want the cheaper dinner, man. We'll try it. Yeah. From somebody who's called their pastor Fat Pastor. If anyone saith that the sacraments of the new law are not necessary to salvation, let him be anathema. Anathema, cursed. If anyone says that all Christians have power to administer the word, in other words, read your Bible and do something about it, let him be anathema. Here, I'm cursed here. If anyone saith that the received and approved rites of the Catholic Church won't be used in solemn administration of the sacraments, may be condemned, or without sin be admitted at pleasure by the ministers, or changed by every pastor of the churches, let him be cursed, anathema. That makes no sense, but I'm cursed as a pastor. If anyone saith that in the Roman Church, which is the mother and mistress of all churches, that is true. I believe that to be true. Every church out there has been born by the Catholic Church somewhere along the line, except the independent Bible-believing Baptists. I'm not talking the brighter bunch. They are weakening Catholicism as well, because they call their church the local church. They call that the Holy Church, the Bride of Christ. All that is a Catholic teaching right there. Isn't that amazing? The Seventh-day Adventists, who hate the Catholics, have church on the day that Mary gets everybody out of purgatory, Saturday. People just need to open their eyes to the Catholic system. That really is Revelation 17. It really is the whore of Babylon. It really is the place. Here's another one. If anyone saith that baptism is free, that is not necessary unto salvation, let him be cursed. Let him be made let him be anathema. Another one about me. I'm cursed here again twice. Boy, what a blessing. Confirmation. If anyone says that the confirmation of those who have been baptized is an idle ceremony, you sit there cursed this morning. Anyway, here we go. We'll get them out to you. Talk about hatred. Now, let me show you something here this morning. Is it up there? Let's do this thing right here. I won't spend a whole lot of time on this thing, and I just want you to see something here. Let's kill one of these lights here. You know what we need to do? You know the Reformation, right? Martin Luther went out there and wrote down 96 complaints, 96 points about the Catholic Church that was wrong, nailed them up on the door of a Catholic Church. Bible says, it's not my word as like a hammer, as a hammer in Jeremiah 23. So we don't need to go take a hammer and a nail and a sermon and go nail on some church door, but the Word of God will do that. Is not my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? So we don't need to be swinging hammers, we need to be swinging the Bible. And that Bible, the Word of God, will knock into pieces the stuff that you preach it to. Now, I want you to see here something. Remember this tract? The Voice of a Stranger? You need to dig that curtain out from underneath your potholder. And I'll show you why here this morning. This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God. This has never been more plain to me. Nor receiveth correction, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. We know that that's his desire. And Zechariah says this, For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. This is all about the Antichrist, okay? Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up. That's for you, Sue. He put that in there just for you. Clean dried up. You know, southern there. And his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Now, we've all heard this kind of stuff and go, well, you know, whatever. Look at this picture that has to do with the movie here. Instead of the guards falling back as I'm he, Jesus' face is beat up, causing his right eye to be swollen shut for the rest of the movie. Now look at that. The rest of this movie, the eye of Jesus Christ, now I hope you don't get this picture, here we go with the picture. I want you to see that that's the picture of the Antichrist right there. I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt that if you want to think about the devil and the Antichrist, that's what he's going to look like. And look at that right eye. The rest of the movie. And this picture was in somebody's article about the movie, how much they didn't like the movie, and they didn't make any mention about that right eye thing. Look at this. This is the icon or the image thing for Mel Gibson's movie company. One eye. Now, 666, it hasn't hit yet. The Antichrist hasn't hit yet. But this stuff was all just being prepared. You know, are we close or what? This is amazing to me. Now, I found the book that this lady, Ann Emmerich, she's one of the nuns that received a vision, that it says, even in the book advertisement, this is the book that Mel Gibson based the movie on. You can tell that to people. Now, this is a drawing that some Catholic artist drew. Look it up on the top up there. There's your one eye. Yeah. And then, I'm telling you, there's more stuff on that whole thing. The Illuminati, I couldn't find a picture. The Illuminati has a picture of a naked guy on a horse, on a white horse, with one eye. And in this movie, the last thing they show is they show Jesus in the tomb when he's supposed to have been risen. The rock is shoved aside, and there he's in the tomb still, sitting there naked. And they show him walking away as a naked man. And there's a one-eyed naked man on a horse coming back in Revelation chapter 6. And we see people suckering into this thing that they've never fallen into a trap as big as this one. Is this not an amazing thing? And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of the thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's the Antichrist coming back. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, and I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, Measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Last verse. And when it opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed him with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. That's the account in Revelation 6 about the coming of the Antichrist. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. If we see this morning that the Antichrist, the visual description, the word description of Antichrist is now in the movies as a pictorial example of the right eye being darkened and everything, we have to look at this verse in Colossians that says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Because they don't get it. And we're going to have to be able to sit down to that Bible and show them some things. We're going to have to sit down and show them some stuff about the Catholic Church. Because that's what everybody's fallen into. You can show them some of this stuff if you just can. And if nothing else, I want you to see this morning how we need to redeem the time ourselves. Just for ourselves. We'll get into that in a minute here. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways in Haggai, chapter 1. Let's go back to that now. Okay. Isn't that amazing? I hope you're not sitting there going, oh, cut it out. Because that's quite a... Now, it's not the Antichrist up there. Mel Gibson's not the Antichrist. And neither is Jim whatever. He's just showing people. He's just bringing it into the system. You know, if they'd have shown that 10 years ago, never. There would have been Bible believers all over the place going, that's a picture of the Antichrist, blah, 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 blah. But look at how many people, Bible believers, don't even see that. It's an amazing thing. Well, maybe you're nuts. Well, maybe I am. I don't know. That's one picture that sure said a lot to me. Let's look at this thing in Haggai this morning. We're going to talk this morning here about, it's a two-parter, so don't get too nervous. I got some stuff tonight yet. We're going to read through the first 11 verses of Haggai. It's an amazing thing, this Haggai. I'll remember some of the history here. The Jews are coming out of captivity. Okay, they've been in captivity for a long time. Forgot the year, 7 years, whatever. And they get out of there, and they start building the temple. Now, and where we are in Haggai right here, Nehemiah hasn't even begun to build the wall yet. That comes in 100 years. And we've done a lot of preaching about the wall built around us. Amen? If you get hot, go ahead and open the windows, because I don't want you to sleep through this thing if you can help it this morning. Open the windows, get some air going through here. This is an amazing thing. These folks are told to build the temple. Well, they get it started, then they quit. They quit. And what Haggai is all about is 15 years later, since they started building the temple and they quit doing it, we are now 15 years into this thing, and God is saying, hey, it is time to get going again. That's why he says, thus speak, well, we'll just read it. Let's look at verse 1. See what I'm saying? We're not even into the wall yet. And you folks have been building your wall to protect this and that and your family and all that stuff. What we're going to look at this morning is we're going to look at the temple. What's inside the wall that you're so proudly building around, protecting yourself. Haggai, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying... Now, look at back. In the second year of Darius the king, who cares about in the second year, sixth month? Ever think of that? Ever think of it when you're reading your Bible? Well, whatever that is. I mean, who cares when it is? If we didn't have that in there, we wouldn't know that they started to build this thing 15 years ago and then they sat on their dust and didn't build it. We wouldn't know that if God didn't put the dates in here. Right. I'm thankful for somebody, whoever it was, that figured that thing and looked at it, went back to Ezra, said, yeah, it's been 15 years. That's good to know. How long have you been sitting on your duff? How long have we made a decision that I'm going to do this right. I'm going to get up here and you come up and you pray, or you just prayed at your seat, or a sermon meant something to you, God got on your case, and you said, I need to change. And how long has it been since you still changed? That's what this is all about today. I'm in trouble just like you. There's some things I know I should have been doing, I should have done. I said I was going to do them, and I really haven't gotten into it yet. Well, why not? I need to consider my ways. We need to redeem the time. The Antichrist is making his visual showing in preparation, and nobody seems to care. I think we need to really look at the times. And you'll see that in here. I think it's time to look into that temple. Amen. Let's keep looking here. Verse 2. Here we go. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They don't want to do it. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now what we're talking about, this is a physical kingdom. And so what he needs to have built is a physical temple. Right? Okay, so they want to go home to their sealed houses instead of doing what God would have them do in the temple. Build a temple. You see that this morning. Go back to your homes. Where do we hide from doing right? I'm going back to little homes and leave church. We get out of here this morning. We leave, go back to our little homes and maybe turn the tube on. Maybe we don't. We do something. We kind of forget about this. We got to get on with life. I mean, Pastor, it's reality, you know. I know. But God's going to get us on that. Watch here. Verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Okay, this morning? Consider your ways. What have you been doing? Where are you at? Consider your ways this morning. Verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Everybody says, Amen. Ye eat, but ye have not enough.
Amen.
Yeah, come on. Rich American, you know. Ye drink, but ye're not filled with drink.
Amen.
Ever been thirsty after you had a big long drink? Remember that now. That's Haggai chapter 1. The next time that happens to you. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. Oh, and this is my favoriteest one. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes.
Amen.
That is so... We work so hard. Maybe I won't say we, because you probably don't think I work hard enough, but, you know, whatever. But I remember the days when I had to work. And we would work so hard. And you physical working guys, you work so hard in the hours and all the stuff you do, and you bring it home, and you got to go down this huge long list of deductions. And by the time you pay all this stuff off that you could have fun and play with, somebody cut a hole in this bag of money, what's the deal here? And he's saying, consider your ways. When you die, you can't take it with you. All this work you're doing it for the simple fact of you need money. What a waste of life. If all we're going to do is go through life and want to make money. And he says right here, he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. That is so good. Don't park there. Okay, let's keep going. He says, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. In other words, no fire. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Now we're going to look at that a little bit. Like, here's the temple. These guys are supposed to build, but they don't want to. They go do their own thing. Now we're going to look at that spiritually this morning. The temple that they're trying to build, we have already had built. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. So the temple is there already. Okay, so we know that. But when he says here in verse 9, because of mine house that is waste, that ye run every man into his own house, I'm going to look at the own house as our flesh. And what he wants to have built, he's already built, but it's in there, and we spend all of our time feeding the flesh, not working on the temple that's there. The temple that's there is a spiritual kingdom temple. Like, we're already saved. We're already clean. The sin's not even being imputed. The temple itself is as clean and whole as it can be. But we put all of our efforts, or some of our efforts, money-making, eating, all this kind of stuff that he says right there, that all feeds the flesh. And he wants us to feed the spirit, the temple. Consider your ways. What are you doing this morning? What are you doing in your days today that you're not doing what Haggai's people were supposed to do, and that's work on the temple? We're working on the flesh. And he just said right there that there's a money bag full of holes. You're eating, but you're not full. You're drinking, but you're still thirsty. You know, isn't that amazing? That little chap right there. Look at verse 10. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Now I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. In other words, there's a physical drought because they wouldn't build the physical temple. Is maybe the reason some of us have a spiritual drought is because we're more concerned about the flesh, making money, doing all this stuff, as compared to what we can be doing for the Lord.
Amen.
Now, if you want to compare this thing, the two different temples, go right ahead. What are you doing to help out the local church thing right here? I'm not going to carry that to the Catholic Church status, but we do have a building, we do have a yard, we do have electricity, we do have things that are wrong, that are broken. We have some things that we could do to help the ministry more. Are you involved in that? That's a fair application, amen?
Amen.
Sure it is. Because this is your place, it isn't mine.
Right.
If I'm going to try to grow trees again this year, you better do it. Because they're just going to die again. That little critter right out here, it's going to go probably tomorrow. I'm so tired of driving this lawnmower around this little stick sticking out of the ground. That stick has been there for 3 or 4 years. Maybe 10 leaves. It's history. Your history. You're gone. You're all busy, amen? Well, of course you're all busy. But he says, do his work. This is part of his work. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining like I did when I tried to get you all to get on a cleaning schedule. Remember those years? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, what can you do? Consider your ways this morning. What can you do to get more involved here? But the real issue is, what can you do to get more involved between you and the Lord? That's what I want you to really park on. You're more welcome to come down, even though Mike and Beck and the kids and us are all living in this mansion. You know, we got a 3-bedroom. We got a, what do we say? How many bedrooms we got? 1, 2, 3. I don't know, 6 bedrooms or something. 3 bathrooms. I don't know, 2 kitchens. I mean, we got a mansion here, amen? I can't complain. You want to walk, man? We had a one-armed lady come in cleaning the other day. You can do something. I didn't have to. I'm glad y'all come down, and we're keeping it clean. But that's not the point this morning. Let's look at the real temple, the temple that God's already given us. What are we doing to help that out? That's what we need to see here this morning. We need to redeem the time. Well, let's go to Acts chapter 12. We're going to consider our ways, two of them this morning and one of them tonight. We're going to consider the Antichrist this morning. Well, that sounds exciting. We're going to consider the Bible this morning. Now, we've done that before, probably boring. And then tonight we're going to look at what why we struggle to work on the temple. I'll say that for the ones that really want to hear some stuff, and I'll show you why we struggle when it comes time to rebuild the temple. Anybody struggling? Sure. Now, Jerry popped up with a good amen, so that made you feel better, didn't it? You got one guy that said amen. Okay, if Jerry can struggle, so can we. Yeah, I'm struggling. I hope you know you're struggling. Because if you're not struggling, you must not be trying to do right. Because if the Antichrist is making the presence that he's making known here in this country, in this world, he is not going to be happy with what you're doing to that Bible. I write a little 400-word paragraph in the newspaper. And all the stuff I get flung at me. You know, what are you doing? Remember when Linton Smith wrote and said, hey, you must be some kind of a Christian that's worth hating. At least you're a Christian enough to worth to hate. You got any enemies out there? Any new ones since the movie? You ought to. They, not that this is your goal, but you ought to have at least somebody hate you more or love you more. You can't ride the fence any longer. Just can't be done. Unless, of course, he comes out with another movie. And somebody wrote to me and said, the next movie Gibson comes out will probably be David and Bathsheba. That'll be a hit in the movies. I mean, that'll be a great one. Another R-rated movie. Can you think of some other movies that'll make a great one? Was it Caesarea? How do you pronounce that? Caesarea? Head getting nailed. That'll make a great Hollywood movie. I might go to that one. No, I wouldn't. Not in a second. What do you think he's going to do with... I was going to say Moses in the ark, but it wasn't. It's Noah in the ark. What do you think he's going to do with that critter? You know, with that whole thing? Probably go by threes. You know what he'll do? He'll go by twos and all be the same sex, is what they'll be. You know, how that thing works out. Acts chapter 12, this is the verse that got me going. I got to get going again. Acts chapter 12, verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. This is Peter. He's in jail. Are you in prison today? You got some things that just locked up your jaw. You go home to a prison, and the kids go, "Oh, yes, please preach on that, Pastor." You know. Your kids don't go home to a prison. You want to go home to a prison, I will show you some places you could visit that you would be going home to a prison. Man, I'll tell you what. But anyway, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Yeah, the chains that are on us are our own. You've heard me preach that. If you're in prison, it's your choice. If you're miserable and unhappy, it is totally your choice. If you're not getting anything done for the Lord, it's your choice. And if chances are, more than anything in this country, it's because you're trying to work so hard to make so much money, and the money just falls out those holes in that bag, and you can't do anything about it, and you're just miserable. And the Lord angel says to Peter, "Come on, get up, arise up quickly. Come on, let's get going. Get those chains off. They're not for me. Just stand up, fling them off, and get out there and serve the Lord, because we're running out of time. The Antichrist is making a move." It's amazing to me. Now, in this room, we have some folks that are really old. Amen. We have some folks in this room that are regular old. We have some folks that are young old. Some folks have grandkids still around. Some folks have no kids around. Some folks are finishing up with the kids. Some have kids that have hardened. Some have kids that are in their prime. Some have kids that are still moldable. Some have kids that have just been poured. But we still need to redeem the time. I'm going to challenge you this morning in a Baptistic type of a thing. Challenge you this morning to make a decision to arise up quickly from whatever you're trying to get done, and you're realizing it's a struggle and it's a prison, and make a charge. Lord, I've got to do something for you instead for a change. You want to do it around here? You want to do it in your personal private walk? You want to do it in your family? Whatever. Whatever God lays on your heart. And I pray that we are not so caught up in the world that we don't even get something from the Lord this morning. "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." That's all the devil's doing. He is checking out to see what side we're on. Now, if you're saved this morning, you can't be on his side, but you can be a spy and a traitor. That stinks, doesn't it? I hope that's not the case this morning here. So let's do this. Let's consider some things today. The words of the Antichrist, the words of Jesus Christ, and then reasons why it is such a struggle to just do right for the temple that's in us. Amen. Let me ask you this. In the last couple weeks or last couple months or whatever, have you thrown any of the darkness out of your life yet? Sure, you know, whatever it would be. Have you thrown something away that you don't need to have around anymore? Have you realized something and chucked it? And the Bible calls that from the world of darkness. Amen. And you get rid of some of that darkness. You know, when you get rid of darkness, you're going to have more what? Going to have more light. And I believe personally, the Lord has shown me some things. One of them is a major, I think that poster being down is a major step for me. Major step. And when that thing comes down and all these other things that are changing in my life, more light shows up. Because we're doing it by faith. By faith in what? The Bible. The Bible's told me about images lately. You're going to be a Calvinistic, I'm not Calvinistic, you're going to be a legalistic type person? No, not at all. We have the liberty to do that. But I don't want to be guilty of teaching your children, and I've done it. All your children, I've taught your children as the pastor that that's possibly what Jesus Christ looks like, and all that looks like is the Antichrist. And you'll never get that out of your mind, because I'm not the only one that's done it to your children. I've done it to you. You've done it to each other. You've done it to me. Look at all the people at the fair that go around looking that this is what Jesus Christ looks like. Well, is it a big deal? Well, I don't believe it's been a big deal, but it sure is a big deal now to me. To me. And yet I've learned that when that darkness gets taken out of my... It's a physical thing. It's just a, It's a conviction. It's a choice. It's something I get rid of somehow. It's hard. I'm not all the way through. Are you? Okay. And yet when that darkness goes away, there's more light. All by faith. All by faith what that Bible says. Can I help somebody realize what the Lord's done on the cross by drawing all that stuff? Yes, I can. But I know now that the drawings we do are a picture of the Antichrist. I believe that. That movie proved it to me. And I don't want to have somebody... I just want to do that anymore. If I can't get something across without drawing a picture of Jesus Christ, then I better repeat it again. Now, I'll probably slip up. I'll blow it because I just will. And I just will. Amen? But he says to consider your ways. So this morning, let's do this. We're just going to go through this thing quickly because you've already got the chart and you've already seen it. But let's consider the ways of the Antichrist. Let's look at what he does as far as the Word, because he's everywhere today. He's in our houses and everything. Well, let's just review this chart real quick. We'll look up any of the verses. That sounds pretty weak. Well, we'd be here all day, which like Bill said, amen, let's stay here all day and look them all up and get Lord just beat the snot out of us, amen? This is what the words of the Antichrist are. They're good words. They're fair speeches. They're enticing words of man's wisdom. They're flattering. They're feigned, which means they don't have anything behind them at all. They're just snooking you. Swelling words of vanity, spoken by great personalities. Now those are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the 10 things that the Bible says about the words of the Antichrist, the words of the stranger, the words of the devil. Those 7 things are good things. Remember, his pastors and ministers are ministers of what? Righteousness. They're going to be throwing this kind of stuff at their people, and when we come along and show them the truth about what this Bible says, we are the ones that look like we have hatred. Because they're being fed with this kind of garbage. Isn't that amazing? Do you see that this morning? Hello? God has allowed you to see what's going on.
Amen.
If there's nothing else in your life that you ought to thank the Lord for, thank Him for that.
Right.
If you don't even know what to do about it, He's letting you see. Aren't you glad you're not caught up in that? Aren't you glad you're not looking for that critter to come? Aren't you glad that darkened eye means something to you? It's like the Lord put that in there just like a little clue before the rapture. Something's happening. Now the last 3 things about His words, these are bad. His words are malicious. His words are vain and His words are perverted. Yet they're all real good. That's what His words are. That's what's happening to our ecumenical friends. They're falling for all these other things. They don't realize that His words are bad as they are. Let's look at this one. His words will. He uses words that will do these things. They will. Now, this is what gets exciting for me, because now, as I look at this chart a couple years later, I think you will too. You will see, you will think of some examples that you now know that He's done that. When I first put that chart together a couple hundred years ago, I just put it together because this is what the Scriptures say. And now, to this day, I can remember when I've seen that happen. His words will deceive. I've seen people deceived by all those good words that we're reading about up there. His words will beguile. Beguile, entertain, sneak people, and get them away from the truth by entertaining them away. That's beguile. I know people that have been beguiled by entertainment. And can you change their ways? No, that's how bad entertainment is. We like to be entertained. Amen? What do you think this is all about? Entertainment. A ton of fun. We'll throw a little preaching in there too, and be sure and bring... You can't wear shorts or anything, but be sure to bring your swimming suits. Let's have a lot of fun. And what is it? Well, you said that the hours of this thing. Where did you see that at here? Didn't you see hours on here? Where did you see that? Right? I know. It's in front of me. I know. Oh, big print. Oh, thank you. You can read it from back there, can't you?
Did you enjoy that? Did you? I know she said it, but you did you enjoy that?
She told me to.
But did you enjoy it?
Oh,
I bet you liar. Yeah, there we go. Okay, yeah. 8 p.m. through 2 a.m. Oh, there we go. Anyway, I hope God blesses it and all that stuff, you know. But people are being beguiled. His words are beguiling people. The words have no profit, except money. There's money in that stuff, you know. Look how much. That movie cost him $25 million, I think, and I think it's up almost $200 million now. Man, it makes you want to make a movie. You know? Okay, they'll subvert to here. That means you don't know what's happening. Khrushchev says that we're gonna beat you without firing a shot. Everybody's walking around talking, communism is dead. You dummy. Communism has landed and they didn't fire a shot. Anyway, they will allure, they'll trick, they'll sneak people in. God's own people are falling for this thing. Now, where have you seen that happen? The Passion. Bible believers are falling for this thing. Let's keep going. They'll make merchandise of you. Not ought to irritate you, but I guess it does. It'll irritate you that somebody's using you for their profit. You know? It's like a company. They'll give you a buck and they'll make 10. Then they'll give you a nickel for Christmas. You know? And then after 50 years, you're gone. They don't even care what happens. You know, you can't, you know, we're spoiled. It's a company. They're a company. They're in it for the money. Render God's words ineffective. You ever try to give somebody some God's words now? And it doesn't do anything, does it? We've seen all these things happen. His words will cause division. And yet, who's blamed for causing division? We are. Excuse me, but this Bible existed far before your Bible came out. If God would have stuck to this Bible, there wouldn't be any division out here. Here's the truth right here. And they accuse us of causing division. Cause people to err. And you know that's taking place here. They kill the effect of the preaching of the cross. They prayed against us. They just kind of pick at you what that's talking about. You can be sure the Antichrist will do this. Guaranteed it. Guaranteed this because I've seen it so many times. I think you have too. He'll try to get into your home. Matter of fact, he's in your home. Rob you and your neighbor of God's very own words. We know that's taking place. They'll catch away God's words that were sown in your heart. He'll try to keep you from getting saved. And if you're saved, that's a major accomplishment, amen? Because nowadays, you think you'd get saved today? Compared to when you got saved? Aren't you glad you didn't put it off? I feel bad for those that have put it off because, man, there's so much confusion out there now, I wouldn't know what to believe. Really. They make the Word of God of none effect. Ever read a Bible, not got anything out of the chapter? It happens to us, too. You better go back and read it because God has something there for you and the devil didn't want you to get it. Forget about your 10-page thing. Go back and read page 3.
Amen.
You know, so whatever. Try to kill Jesus Christ in your life. Keep from understanding Jesus' speech. That's what it says in John 8. Get people to hate the words of Jesus Christ, and boy, has he done a good job of that one. Get people to be offended. Woo! He's even hit the home ground with that one. Rob you of your faith. Aren't you glad it's his faith that we count, not ours anymore? Ever given up before? Recently? Aren't you glad he hasn't? You get right back up and keep going. You know? Corrupt God's word and words. He will handle God's word and words deceitfully. Not only will he corrupt them and change them and all that stuff, he'll take somebody that preaches the words and he'll still twist them. You get somebody to wrongly divide that thing. He'll have no profit. There's no profit in his words. No gain except for him. He will lie regarding God's words. We know that. He will deceive you with his false light. We know that. Train his ministers of righteousness. Use Christians in his work. Boy, that's something. Traitors and spies. Have prophets with false words. Cause people to err. That's in Proverbs. He will come with talks of peace. What did this one guy say here this morning? We want the Jesus of peace. We have the Jesus of peace. Let me show you what Paul says about Jesus Christ. About peace. The peace of God, the peace from God, the peace with God. And matter of fact, like Ruckman even has taught for years and years and years, these people that preach peace, they're called kingdom builders, they're a bloody murdering bunch. Because notice how, because we don't go along with what do they want to do? They want to get rid of us. They've always been doing that. They've always done that. Trick people into thinking he is Jesus Christ returning, which is what's happening right now at this moment. Do many miracles, healing, signs and wonders. That's happening more and more each day. Try to move you to another gospel, even if it's your own gospel. It's a gospel. Tickle your ears. Encourage you to follow the perilous way. Get you to depart from the faith. I think I've already got that up there, don't I? Make you think you know Jesus Christ. And this is the story of those people in Acts and in Mark and stuff, where they were up there saying, the one in Acts, yeah, this Paul, he's of the Lord. Remember that story? And Paul says, get out of here, you wicked demonic woman, type thing, whatever he says there. They're working for the devil, and they're supporting what Paul's doing. There's a sermon in that thing. So the devil, the Antichrist, will even get you to think you know Jesus Christ, when yet really, when you finally die under the judgment seat, you find out he never knew you. That's a scary thing. He offers counterfeit, you know, these counterfeit words, counterfeit Bibles, counterfeit spirit, counterfeit gospels, counterfeit apostles, counterfeit music, counterfeit churches, counterfeit workers, ministers and pastors that are imitations and counterfeits, counterfeit results. Just because you got people coming to your church doesn't mean you're preaching right. Matter of fact, I believe today that if your church is growing, I think there's something wrong. Unless, of course, these people are excited about the book and we're growing and you're witnessing and talking to people and God's getting the increase, I'm all for that. But if we change a major thing around here to get more people coming, I just don't believe that's right anymore. I don't believe that's right. He offers a counterfeit Christianity, he offers a counterfeit salvation, and he offers counterfeit Christians. Isn't that something? And that's what's going on today. That was a quick considering the Antichrist this morning. If you want, you know, if anybody doesn't have a Bible study to do at home, they can give you about 26 charts. There must be something you can come up with. Pull out that thing, and the key to that thing working on your heart this morning is the fact that if you look up those scriptures, don't just take the title word for it. God, you know, some of those things I showed you in that screen right there pick on some of you more than others. Amen. And when you get to that verse where God says, "Hello, this is for you," then you'll get, and God will work on you. And that's why they preached six and seven, 8 hours in those days, because they covered all that stuff. And I still feel guilty about that. A bunch of stuff on the website about false unity. A bunch of verses on the false unity that the Antichrist prepares. Okay, let's finish this up here this morning. Let's consider the Word of God. Amen. We consider the words of the devil. Let's consider the words of God. And I won't even show you the references or anything. You know these things, I think. We know that God had to speak his words to his son. His son had to take the word from his father and pass them on to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit had to take those words and pass them on to holy men of God, it says in Peter. Those holy men of God had to fulfill God's promise in the first place that he was going to preserve those words, and they have to be written. 1 John chapter 5 and the last chapter of John. So we need to be able to have those words that God spoke in written form. And we've already lost 99% of our radio crowd if we had a radio crowd listening to us this morning. And that's the crux of this whole thing. You either have God's words or you don't. I believe we do. Now why can't you allow me to believe that? Why is that such a problem? You can believe what you want. I can believe what I want. You can believe that the church is your final authority, the tradition, even though most of your priests are queers.
That's right.
And I can believe that this Bible is the Word of God, and even though there's 500 different versions out there, there's one that I'm talking about.
Amen.
It's the very same one that was written a long time ago. Not a change to it anywhere. So we have to have those words written. Then we must be thankful for them. Because if we're not thankful for those things, Romans chapter 1 says you're going to get into vain imagination and you are in big trouble. Read the Romans devotional. Right now I am in Romans 1, 18, 19, 20, right where it burns. And I'm doing it in an encouraging manner. If you've never read them yet, you're seeing a new me in there. You are. It's different. It's just the wildest thing going through Romans. If we're not thankful for those words, we're heading down a bad trail. You think, okay, so if we're thankful, then we must praise Him for them. Amen. Thank Him for them. Praise Him for those words. Then we must believe them. Ephesians chapter 1. Those have to be the words of truth. We must believe them. Then if we believe them, we must trust them. Right. And if we trust them, we must study them. I must read them. I think I skipped here. Have to read them next, right? Then you got to believe them and trust them. Then you got to study them. And as you're studying your Bible, you come to realize that you need to rightly divide them. And that opens up a whole new trend. And then you get so excited about stuff, you got to start memorizing some of those things. If you got a memory cell left up there, you young guys, memorizing stuff, what a good way to work on your brain. Train your brain. Us old guys, man, I'm happy if I can remember Jesus wept. I don't know where he said it. It's a shameful thing. It's a shameful thing. There's so many things I can't remember. You know that. I couldn't even remember a ring for a wedding. You didn't hear that story, did you? Enough to scare anybody. Memorize those words. Okay, if we've got those words written down and we study them, we read them and rightly divide them, etc., etc., then we need to publish them. We need to publish them. That's what we're doing at the fair and the Boone Rally. And if we're going to publish these things, we need to apply them ourselves. Oh, I wonder if that isn't where some of this thing breaks down. Right there. All that stuff is really good. Apply them? You're kidding. We need to walk them properly through Paul's direction. We need to proclaim them in our daily walk. We need to teach them to those willing to be taught. We need to preach those words to those not willing to be preached as well as willing. And we need to contend for them. Earnestly contend for the faith. And the faith is here in the Word of God. We need to contend for this book. So that's what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to consider your ways. Consider the Antichrist this morning. Consider the words of God. I was looking at the difference here between us and some other Baptist churches that are King James only. And here, some preachers can stand for them, and that's good. Stand for the King James Bible. That's good, amen? That's good. There are preachers out there that will stand with them. Amen, that's good. Right? And there are preachers out there that will even stand on them. This is what they'll use to preach what they preach. But there's still one more notch, and that is to stand, use these to stand above everything. You can stand for the Word, you can stand with the Word, you can stand on the Word, but boy, you better magnify that thing above everything. That's the difference. And I'm not gonna get into some criticism or whatever of the preachers that preach for it and with it and on it. For King James, I've heard some good messages on the King James Bible lately, strong as can be, but I know that in some cases, that word is still not magnified above everything. This book needs to be magnified above the family. You don't just use it to preach about the family, you lift this thing above the family. And that's a big one. That's a big one. You don't use this Bible just to preach, just to stand for and with and on, but this thing is even above your pastor. I mean, you can stop with what I showed you this morning and trust those to be true, but if you don't look up some of those verses on your track, you're putting me above your Bible. Because you haven't looked them up. And that's one thing I'll say, that when I heard all these years of preaching and videos, all that kind of stuff, I took the time to take my notes and look them up. He said, look him up. Don't trust me. Then he threw in the word stupid. Well, he was right. But you can't say that anymore. So, take your tract out. If you're going to really consider the Antichrist, you haven't considered him yet. You look up those verses. Oh, man, that's a lot of verses. What if your pastor's right? What if what I'm showing you here this morning, that guy is making a move? Right eye. And y'all still alive to see it. You never thought you'd live that long to see all this stuff going on. Get out that book. Don't make me be your final authority. Take that Bible. You children, kids, young adults, you know, older kids. Young adult, older kid. Is that? That's right. Your parents have the final authority. But you still better be lifting that book. That's a tough one, isn't it, right there, parents? So, yeah, they're supposed to obey me, aren't they? Yeah, they are. They are. You better make sure you're doing the right thing. Because if not, you're asking your kids to disobey, you're asking your kids to obey something that's not right. That's a hard thing to deal with. Or we can do this morning. You can ignore them. You can reject them. You can replace them. You can change them. In some cases, you can mock them. But we know in John chapter 5 and John chapter 12 that we are going to be judged by them. So you might as well consider them. Now let's go back to Haggai 1 and we'll finish up this morning. Now we're going to do some things tonight about why it's such a struggle. Yep, you're all in there. I'm in there too. Come to church tonight, find out what's your problem. You know, why not? If you want to go out and look at it that way, come to church tonight, find out what everybody else's problem is. There you go. That'll help you. That'll make you look forward to church tonight. Boy, I bet he gets my dad tonight. All right. You know. Well, right after Hezekiah, right? Enter. I was wondering if anybody was going. I'm just going to Hezekiah in here. Where's Hezekiah? He's teasing me. Haggai chapter 1, verse 12. Let's finish this chapter up. Because now these people are considered these things, obviously. They sat around for 15 years, and then the Lord said, listen, get busy. And Haggai preached at them, and they said, okay, let's get busy. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Isn't that good? You know what's even better yet? The next phrase. I like that. These guys obeyed the Lord, and they obeyed the preacher. Is that what it says? Obey the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Hey, what do we say today? Lord says, I am in you. He has to be with you, even if he doesn't want to be. But he wants to be. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Now we know that the spirit in that day, compared to the spirit today, is we got the Holy Spirit in here. So we don't really have to get charged up. We actually have to be decreased. So if you want to consider your ways this morning, and you want to get God to get going in your life about some of these things that you've been holding off, amen? Amen, anybody? I mean, amen, amen. Then you know what you got to do? You got to get out of the way. Consider His way by getting out of His way. If making money is such a big deal for you, you still got to make money. But ask God how to deal with it. What do I do? It's ruining my family. If whatever it is that you got to deal with, I can think of me, then why don't we just deal with it? What's your problem? I'll tell you about that tonight. Isn't this nice to come here?
Amen.
Man, I tell you. You know, you could go to any other church and just have some of that fake fun. Kids are going, I can handle some fake fun for a while. Not having any fun at all. Probably because your parents aren't having any fun. I think it's a neat thing to know about this stuff.
Amen.
I had so much fun reading Haggai, the first chapter, the other night. I thought, man, this is exactly what the sermon's all about. Lord, you're amazing. That's what he said. Amen. Thank you. Because he is. Then I looked at Haggai chapter 2. He talks about the temple that's coming. Now, how do you want to look at that? Well, look at it this way. There's the Lord's coming someday, and it's going to be a marvelous time in the millennium and eternity past that. Amen? Yeah, but you know, if the Lord gets in there and rearranges some things in your life right now, you know that this new life can still be pretty cool. Right now. I mean, remember when I said the Lord's already come? You wouldn't know it. And a lot of people, he's already there. So you're out there driving your tractor, putting out your fires. I got to go to everybody's employment now. Stepping in acid, driving tractor around in some really weird stuff, you know, and standing on that hot asphalt this coming summer, you know, fixing things that she breaks, you know. And up there working with those guys that have to be, you know, spanked and baby and all that kind of stuff. And the different situations you have in your home, Donna. And LD, you guys over there sitting around just being healthy as all get out, you know. Going to school and having to put up with all that stuff. But your pastor making your life hard for you, I suppose, huh? A little bit there, you know. Homeschooling, having to learn, you know, do stuff. You know, John, did you catch any fish?
Yes. My dad,
well, you know, sometimes sometimes you just have to have days like that. You need to just be happy for your dad, because he doesn't usually catch fish. I understand. You know, Mike's out there looking for work, I think. Just kind of having a good time around here. We got, you know, no hurry for me. I'm happy with that thing. Man, with all your stuff and Beck, you know, and man, I tell you, everybody, patience, all the latest type stuff, you know. I tell you what, we ought to be joyous in everything that's going on. My wife living in her new home, you know, which is smaller than any RV, because at least in the RVs they got bathrooms and kitchen counters about this big, you know. I went into this morning. Went in there and charged in the door, like, I got to quit charging through doors. You've been telling me that for years. And boom, and they hit something on the other side of the door. And it was her. In front of the mirror, because you have the mirror right by the door. So, okay, I got to get you a mirror and maybe a little vanity set, or not a vanity set, because, you know. One of those things that you can put all your, you know what I'm saying, what? We need to have a joy through all these hard days. I think he's coming pretty soon, because the Antichrist seems to be making himself popular this morning. Let's stand, we'll dismiss. How do you do for time this morning? Boy, I tell you, always worrying about time, aren't you? Yeah, I am. That's a shameful thing. I'd like to have a meeting with the men tomorrow night, if at all possible. I know it's probably not the best time in the world, but I don't know when the best time in the world is anyway, so. We're going to have to consider some missionaries a little bit. Consider some of the projects. We need to talk about the balloon rally. They've written a couple of things to the directions that I think are kind of hinting towards us a little bit. One of them says in bold print, all solicitation must be done in the booth. It's in big print this year. I don't know who they're talking about. And they're going to change everybody's booths around so we better get the flow better. Well, I think I know what that means too. You know, I think we've been too close to the entertainment section. I bet you we're over there back by the bathrooms, back around the corner. Oh, well. I had to say to myself, relax. What do you expect? Enjoy it. Go out there and be a testimony. And if it's that bad, we'll close the booth and just do it in the front gate. If we get limited that much, you know, whatever. So, neat things going on. Some of you folks that are in the real old category, be happy that you get to see this stuff. Isn't this amazing? Because you're closer to than most of us. I mean, you know. And those of you that have brand new concrete just being poured, that's kind of scary. Look at those little guys. And your little guys. Well, they got a rough world to come up into. Well, let's pray this morning. We'll dismiss. Come back tonight. If God worked on you, arise up quickly. You know, Father, thank you so much for this time this morning. And Lord, I know that we are in the Laodicean age, and I realize, Lord, that you don't open any doors anymore for us, and that we can't shut, because we can shut them. We have shut them. We've probably shut so many doors around here that you've almost probably wanted to quit opening doors. But we pray, Lord, here as a family, that you will show us all where we need to grow and where we need to get rid of some darkness, if not all the darkness. And pray, Lord, that the light will shine that much brighter after this message this morning. Lord, we know the Antichrist is not going to be here today. We know that that movie is just an image of the Antichrist, and it's just a picture of things. But it is a picture of things that are soon to come. And you've given us a book, Lord, that gives us the words that told us all this stuff already. So we know about his words. We know about his ways. We know what he will try to do within our homes. Help us men especially, the mothers and the ladies and everybody here, Lord, this morning, arise up and take the sword that we're being so accused of being with hate and show everybody your love is what that Bible is all about, the true love. Pray that you bring us back tonight. Bring us back tonight with a different outlook on the way things are going in our lives and in our families. And Lord, if anybody here again, Lord, if anybody here this morning knows they need to be doing something and they're not, or they started it recently and it fizzled, help us, Lord, just get up again and go forward, because it's your faith we're trusting, not our own. Help us, Lord, have the victory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Back there. Oh, here, patience. You go turn yourself off. What did you? Hand them around or something. Danny? You and Danny, hand them around.